Right. Good afternoon. Thanks, Sarah. So as the title of my presentation is, we are interested in looking at how other factors might also impact the relationship between asthma and mental health. First, I want to declare that I have no conflict of interest in presenting this study. So asthma is a huge problem because of the sheer number of people that have this condition. And in the past decade, we have seen significant increase in the prevalence of asthma across the US. And Georgia is no exception. And because of the huge number of people with this condition, the annual estimated cost is enormous. And you can see here it's about $18 billion per year. Now, when it comes to the relationship between mental health status and asthma, it has persisted for a long time. And in fact, the early theories considered asthma to be a manifestation of a state of emotional dysfunction. And later on, a lot of epidemiological studies actually corroborated this initial suspicion. Although this time, there has been an attempt to try to explain why this relationship actually exists. And most of the studies that have tried to decipher the reasoning behind this significant relationship has tried to do so in the context of systematic inflammation. So they believe that systematic inflammation is the bridge between asthma and mental health issues. Again, the direction here, whether asthma is causing mental health or mental health is causing asthma or leading to more asthmatic episode, is debatable. But to me, it could go either way. Like depression, obesity has also been related with asthma. Individuals with high BMI tend to, one, have asthma. They also tend to have more asthma episodes, and they also tend to have higher, or when it comes to the intensity, they tend to have high intense asthmatic episodes. And again, this relationship has been explained in the context of symptomatic inflammation. So the question becomes, if we are talking about these two conditions, both BMI as well as mental health issues, and we are talking about systematic inflammation, then where do these three variables fit? So this is the reason why this study was actually performed, to try to examine, in the context of BMI and depression and asthma, how do these three variables actually relate? So we hypothesized that obesity, or BMI in this context, might mediate the relationship between asthma and mental health, or depression in this case. And because the direction has already been debated, for us, we assume, particularly because we are trying to assess depression in the past 2 weeks, we assume that depression actually came after asthma, which is a chronic condition that this person has for a long time. So that's the framework which we are coming from in this study. We used 2010 BIFSS data for Georgia, and the reason we used this old data was that we wanted to operationalize depression using a bigger scale, and we only collected depression indicators in 2010 using the PHQ-8. We don't have those indicators collected since 2011, so we went back to 2010. Again, our main predictor here is asthma status, whether somebody has current asthma, former or never had asthma. And we control for all these covariates, including age, smoking, and physical activity. The statistical procedure that was used for this study was a little intense, but I'll try to explain most of why we did what we did. So the descriptive statistics was performed using SAS, and we made sure that we took into consideration all those complex survey design variables to make sure that it's representative. And then other than that, all the other statistical analysis were performed using MPLAS, because we tried to model this in the context of latent class, because depression is one of the conditions that you cannot see. It's unobserved, but we use several indicators, asking a bunch of questions to assess whether somebody is depressed or not. and we wanted to make sure that we are able to control for the errors that are inherent in some of these scales. So we use confirmatory factor analysis to create this latent depression factor. And because we use the PHQ-8 as the tool of assessing depression, one of the inbuilt assumptions when we are going to use continuous variable here is that these variables are actually normally distributed. But when we looked at our data, they were skewed. So the only way to deal with that was to discretize our 8 PHQ items into 4 based on the distribution, and then use those discretized variables in our CFA, which is confirmatory factor analysis level. There are several different estimators when it comes to doing some of these analysis, but we settled on this, which is very good when it comes to using survey data in this context. So we settled on the WLSMV estimator in MPLAS. And my next slide will show you some of the conditions that needs to be established before you can actually do mediation analysis. You have to demonstrate that the relationship actually exists for all the 3 variables that we are considering here. So in this case, we had to demonstrate that there is a direct relationship between depression and asthma, depression and BMI, as well as BMI and asthma. And we were able to demonstrate that before we could go ahead and perform our mediation analysis. There are different types of mediation analysis, and for those that are familiar with this type of analysis, but in this case, we used the model indirect to try to assess this mediation effect in MPLAS. And because we don't have any assumption about the distribution, the sampling distribution of this indirect path, we have to correct for the standard errors as well as the confidence intervals around that. So we use bootstrapping, and we bootstrap about 2,000 times to do that correction. So these are, as I mentioned, these are the conditions that you need to establish that mediation actually exists. And this was established by Byron and Kenny in 1986. And they talk about there should be this correlation that I've already alluded to between the causal variable, in this case, your main predictor, which is going to be asthma status, and the outcome, which is going to be your depression. And you also have to be able to demonstrate that there is a correlation between, in this case, asthma and the mediator, which is BMI. And you also, finally, you have to be able to establish that there is a correlation again between the mediator, in this case BMI, and your outcome variable, which is going to be the depression. So this is the proposed model that we proposed. One, starting from the asthma, which is the main predictor here, will be predicting depression. And again, depression was operationalized using the 8 PHQ items, which was discretized, and in this case you can see that it is oval shaped, and that represents the fact that it is not observable, it is actually latent, it's something you cannot see it, but we use multiple indicators to do that, to measure that. So you see those indicators, those represent those 8 items that were loaded onto the depression factor. And we also control for a bunch of covariates which I've already listed, including age, sex, race, and things like that. And we can see that BMI sits in the middle there. So what we propose that the relationship exists here is that there's a direct relationship between asthma status and depression. And over and beyond that, there is also indirect pathway which goes through BMI to depression. So not only can we have direct relationship or direct pathway between asthma status and depression, but there's also an indirect pathway going through BMI. And that's what we try to model in this study. One of the things that we try to do is, I think somebody might ask about covariate not having that directly on the asthma status. And the reason we didn't do that was, this was the parsimonious model that we could build. When we tried to have a line from the covariate to the asthma status, our model was so big and we were having issues with convergence. So we decided not to include that pathway. In terms of the results, this was the characteristics of our study population. We have about 8%, close to 8%, who were current asthmatics. And the BMI here, the mean BMI was about 27.8. In fact, if you have to think about like the prevalence of BMI in this study population, it was about 28 to 29% in 2010. So these are the items that were asked as part of the PHQ 8 little pleasure. So they asked questions like, in the past 2 weeks, how many days did you have little pleasure in doing things? How many days did you feel down, depressed or hopeless? Had trouble falling asleep or staying asleep? And a whole bunch of questions. So we loaded these indicators onto the depression factor in this case. And I'll go through the numbers quickly, but we have the estimate, we have the standard errors, we have the p-value, and we have the standardized estimate. To do some of these analysis, you have to scale your factor. And so we use for the first line, the row, the level of pleasure in doing things was used to scale our factors. And that is why you see the estimate of 1.0. Now, I'll be interpreting the standardized estimate, which is on a scale of 0 to 1. So you can see that all these factors loaded very well on the depression factor, with the lowest standardized estimate to be about 0.65, which is really good. And you can see that all of these numbers were significant. So each of them had a p-value of less than 0.01. In terms of our final model, we're able to demonstrate significant relationship between asthma and depression, and you can see that we had significant 95% confidence intervals which never crossed one. That was good. BMI and depression was also significant. Asthma and BMI was significant. Now we're able to estimate the total effect of the effect of asthma on depression to be 0.246. And we're able to also estimate the indirect effect, the one that went through BMI, and that was 0.02. And if you calculate the proportion of the indirect effect of the total effect, it came up to about 8.1%. Now the question becomes, is this something that we should talk about, or is this something that is important? We don't know in terms of clinical or public health implications, but I think it's a very important outcome that we are seeing here. And the reason is, first, it is significant, but not only that, we can also think about this in terms of, if we are talking about a chronic condition that is a lifelong and we are seeing this significant relationship, then what about if we are talking about the burden of asthma? For example, if we are trying to assess the relationship between the burden of asthma, how many times people actually get hospitalized or go through the ER because of asthma, then what will be the impact through BMI on depression? And this is something that brings up other questions that we can actually answer. So this is one of the things that will raise other questions for future studies to be conducted on this type of topics. That's why this is a very important thing to do. And I cannot talk about latent variable analysis without talking about some of these indices that we use to assess fit. So one of the biggest things here is to be able to tell whether your data fit the model. And to do that, you have a bunch of indices, including chi-square testing, CFI, which is Comparative Fit Index, RMSEA, which is also one of the fit indices. And then you have the confidence intervals around the RMSEA. And one of the things here you can see here, I'm not going through all everything, but this is an indication of a very good fit. The only thing that came out significant was chi-square. We want chi-square not to be significant in this case, but it was, and we can attribute that to the sample size here, because chi-square in this case is dependent, the p-value is dependent on n, the sample size. So in terms of conclusion, we found evidence of direct relationship between asthma and depression in this study. And we also found out that BMI actually mediates the relationship between asthma and mental health or depression. And what does this mean in terms of chronic disease prevention? We can have a comprehensive type of approach where we will be targeting multiple chronic conditions at once. In terms of the limitations to this study, we had a small sample size for those that had former asthma. And so we had to take them out, because when we ran the model, we found out that those people were different from those that were current asthmatics and those that had never had asthma. So we couldn't combine them with either, so we have to just take them out. They were about 3.8% of the population. And again, it's one of the things that going forward, we can use some of the symptoms of asthma rather than ever being told you have asthma to predict depression in this case. And I think if we happen to have enough sample size to do this type of analysis using burden of asthma, we probably will see bigger indirect pathway through BMI on depression in this case. And it's one of the things that we are still building the data for. Right now we have collected the asthma history module for Georgia in 2013, and we are collecting that in 2014. So when we get that data, we probably will be able to combine them and do that type of analysis. We need other studies to confirm this type of relationship that we have observed in our population. And if it is indeed confirmed, then we also have to figure out what is the pathway through which all these are happening. I want to acknowledge my co-authors here, and this is my contact information. And thank you so much. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to take that. Yeah, so I think that right now, like, a lot of clinicians are doing screening for depression, but they normally do that as like an isolated screening tool without that in conjunction with other chronic conditions. And I think last year I presented one study that was looking at the how chronic conditions tend to coexist and the odds of having one chronic condition given that you have another one. So there's always this tendency of clustering of these chronic conditions, and it's not only between asthma and say depression, but it tends to occur around other chronic conditions, including maybe diabetes. And part of the reasons may be because some of these chronic conditions are very difficult to actually manage, and it involves a whole bunch of processes. You know, you have to take this medication at this time and this kind of thing, which can involve a lot of mental issues, right? So I think not only with asthma, but it's one of the things that we have to start pushing, maybe particularly if other studies confirm this, that you know, they have to do some of these screenings in the context of other chronic conditions that exist among this population, not only with asthma but other conditions as well, like diabetes and hypertension and things like that.
A little bit. You mentioned you controlled for physical activity. How did you define that or characterize it?
Right. Okay. So the physical activity here was asking about. It's more like the leisure time physical activity. In the past 30 days, did you engage in any physical activity other than your work? And we had people who answered yes and who answered no. And we threw this variable, this dichotomized variable, into the model. We didn't have. So in Georgia, we used to ask this. The physical activity recommendation questions every odd numbered year, and this was 2010, so we didn't have the assessment for the comprehensive physical activity. And so the only thing we had was those who used the BRSS score, as always called underscore TOTINDA, which is assessing whether you engaged in any physical activity in the past 30 days other than your work.
Were you able to look at those two groups stratified rather than adjusting for it in the model? There are so many other traits that go with people who are physically active that I wonder if by just adjusting for it in the model, you may miss some effects.
No, we didn't look at stratified analysis. And one of the things that I need to point out is most of these analyses, particularly in the latent framework, they require a huge sample size. And once begin to stratify, particularly with 5,000 and with the covariate, you are losing maybe 1,000, because anyone who is missing information on any covariate will be excluded from the final model. And so if you begin to even go down stratifying, you may lose a huge number of people and you might not see any effect. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.